Scott said, turn it on. That's a pleasure to be here with you guys this morning. Johnny and I, just really grateful for the way that you've supported Mike over the years. One of the things I remember when we first came is how much he spoke and continues to speak of how much of a role you play in his life and his ministry, how highly he values you as his wife, his partner. So as I share a little bit this morning, I may say Mike, but it's Mike and John Ann, and just so grateful for you, grateful for both of you and the life that you've given to this church and this body. Deb and I, my wife and I, came to Cottonwood back in 1998, and we were looking for a way to grow. We were looking for a church that would allow us to grow more in our spiritual journey and our walk, and I wanted to learn and grow in what it means to be a Christ follower. And we came across this little community of faith, a little community of believers in Dublin, Texas. And we found a place where we could worship, where we could share life together with other believers. We found a pastor who didn't just share a sermon, who didn't just share from the Word, but he lived what he believed. He modeled for us much more than he told us, though he told us a lot and taught us a lot. We found a place where God is the main thing. And for us, that was so important. We were looking for a place where God was the main thing. We wanted to know who God is in our lives and what he was doing and how he might use us. And we found this place, Cottonwood Baptist Church. The message that I've heard from Mike has always been consistent from day one till now. Mike shares, and if you've been here very long or you've known Mike very, very long at all, I know that you've heard this passage. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. Mike shares this verse. He lives this verse. I won't say he just shares it. He lives these passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 16. But whenever a man turns to the Lord and the veil is taken away, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I remember thinking, when I first heard Mike sharing that passage, I'm not even sure what that means, but I really want to know. In those few verses, we find, I think over the years, I've found that that's really the very heart and soul and the passion of our body here and our pastor. I believe that Mike's vision has always been that we as a church would pursue God and his glory above all else. Though no matter what happens in our community and our church body, that we pursue God and we pursue his glory. And as you and me, or as we put our faith in Christ, we become a people who are being transformed from death to life, from darkness to light, from sin to holiness. And that we not hide that underneath a veil, that we don't shrink back from what God's done in us, but that we step into it. That we are actually a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ for all the world to see, for all the world to experience. It's not a matter, Mike will say this, it's not a matter of perfection, but it's about direction. That we're moving from glory to glory toward Christ so that he will be made much of. Not you, not me, not Mike, not John Ann, not this church, but that God would be made much of in our lives and through our lives. Well, as I began to see him live that out over the years and try to use Mike as a model and try to live that out myself, I came to this, I think, this place, this question of what is this glory that we're seeking? What is this glory that we're supposed to reflect? And it was early on as well that Mike shared a message that just completely impacted my walk with the Lord and what it means, what I felt it meant to be a Christ follower and what I continue to feel it means to be a Christ follower today. And that message, part of that message comes from Exodus. If you want to turn there, kind of the gist of the story is that Moses is up on the mountain, and he's speaking with God, and he asks God if he can see his glory. He says, Lord, I pray thee, show me your glory. And God says to him, you can't look upon my glory lest you die. But I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will pass by, and you'll see the backside of my glory. And then in Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 6, God sets him there, and he passes by. And then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgressions and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren of the third, fourth generation. And Moses made haste to bow down toward the earth in worship. It's in God's compassion, his loving kindness, his forgiveness. It's those things that transform us. It brings us to a place of brokenness. It brings us to a place of complete surrender, I hope, when we see and we experience and we witness God's compassion, his kindness, his love. I've witnessed that, Mike, in you, a long-suffering pastor. I've seen you deal with people and wonder, how does he keep going with that? One of the things Mike tells us is never burn a bridge. And I know that's a kind of a saying, but I think in his heart, Mike says, never give up on somebody. Never give up. And I've learned from that. I've watched you be compassionate when I couldn't have been. I've watched you be love and kindness when I probably couldn't have been. I've watched you forgive when I probably wouldn't have. You've modeled for us, Mike, and I appreciate that so much. You've showed us what it means to walk this faith out. It's in that we experience. It's in that compassion, that kindness, that God brings us to this place where our lives become an overflow of who he is. And I think that that's so important, that really is the message of this church. It's the message that I've received from this church. That when we are really living a life from glory to glory, it's God's glory lived out in us. It's about him, it's not about us. When we pursue the places that we go, you know, it's that kindness, it's that compassion. When we pursue the places, the peoples that we go to, that's why we do it. It's not about going to places because we're a missional church, or it's not about going just to go somewhere so that we can say, hey, we've been to Africa, we've been to China. It's about pursuing God and his glory, and it's about seeing peoples who don't know our great God, who've never worshipped our great God, come to that redemption, come to that transformation, experience his kindness, his love, his compassion, his forgiveness, so that they might live a life that does the same thing amongst their own people. We go to the remotest parts of Southwest China amongst the Hani, not just to go, we go because that's one of the glories that God has set before us. We go to the spiritually dark corners of Navajo Nation because of God's glory. We go to the island of Zanzibar. We go to the depths and the heights of the Copper Canyon in Chihuahua, Mexico. We go to the liberal northwest of Washington and Oregon here in the United States. We go to South Africa, to Zambia, to Jamaica, to Brazil, Jakarta, Turkey, Egypt, Thailand, Laos, Myanmar. We'll be going to Alaska. We'll go build churches. We go all over the world. We'll be in Louisiana working in clubs, trying to pull women out of difficult situations. Not just to go to any of these places, not just because we have something of our own to offer. We go for God's glory. We go because he's been compassionate and kind to us. He's forgiven us. And the natural overflow of that is that we proclaim that to these peoples. We go to reflect his kindness, his compassion, his forgiveness, his glory, so that God's people in those places will too become transformed. And I pray that lest the Lord come quickly, the next 30 years, the next 60 years, the next 100 years, this church, this community of faith right here, will be a community of faith that seeks God's glory above all else. That we are in pursuit of God and His power, His might, His love, His compassion above all else. It truly is about God. It's not about us. It's not about a church in outside of Dublin, Texas. But He's allowed us to be a part of something very special. Thank you, Mike, so much for leading us in those directions.
As we're on this journey of being transformed from glory to glory, individually on the journey, sometimes we feel like we just get stuck. We come to a point where we just feel like we're not making progress, that we can't get to that next level of glory. Sometimes we just feel like there's something in the way, some issue, some stronghold that keeps us from being the person that God has created us to be, keeps us from doing the things that God has planned for us. There are a lot of things that keep us stuck. Some people have deep wounds from their childhood, and every time they make some progress, that wound kind of opens up and pulls them back. Some people, they can't forgive because of the hurts in the past, and every time they're trying to go on and be transformed, that unforgiveness is there and that bitterness, and it keeps them, it holds them back. Sometimes it's an addiction. Some people deal with alcohol or some kind of drug addiction and cannot go on because of that. There are a lot of things that keep us stuck. It may be fear, anxiety, worry, depression, anything that has a hold on you, that's keeping you from living the life that Jesus promised, that keeps you from experiencing the perfect peace and the inexpressible joy that Jesus gives. Anything that stops the transformation, that's a kind of bondage. And I have good news today. You can be free. This has been a pillar of ministry here for the last 30 years. Mike often speaks of freedom, that we can be free to live the life that God has for us. Jesus' first public speech is recorded in Luke 4, 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to set the captives free. John 8, 36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Completely free, not enslaved to anything. Over the years, Mike has often shared about his own experience of being set free, of his own experience of early struggle with fear, specifically the fear of dying young. I think he was 27. He went to a brother who told him he could be free and then helped him to be free. He saw the source of that fear. That as a young boy, he was told that he had a short lifeline in his palm and he would die young. And that word just created a harvest of fear. This brother led Mike in prayer and confession, and Mike came away free from fear. And since that time, freedom's been a hallmark of Mike's ministry. He often says, "You can be free from that." I've sat with him in his office a few times, and I've heard stories many other times of going through these steps and walking away, people walking away with that load off and being set free. Some of the issues we deal with are not life and death issues. We can function and maybe function well, but not live the abundant life that God has for us. Earlier, just now, I read John 8:36. It's one of the great verses about freedom where Jesus said, "Who the Son sets free will be free indeed." I want to go back and look at the context of that verse. Starting in John 1:31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Verse 31 says that Jesus is speaking to Jews who believed. These are believers whose understanding of Jesus was not complete. And he's saying, "Okay, folks, you folks that have come to believe in me, you need to abide in my word, take my word, believe my word, continue in my word, dwell in it, remain in my word, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." Since the truth sets us free, that means that we're in bondage because of lies. Anything short of full, complete freedom is due to believing a lie, believing that the work of Jesus isn't enough, that somehow he's not enough, that his grace is not enough, The lie that his work is not effective in me, that his word doesn't apply to me, those kind of lies create bondage in us. The truth is, Jesus has defeated the enemy. The truth is, he has completed the work of redemption, of salvation. The truth is that God loves you, he likes you, he cares for you, God is for you. Because of his death, because of the death of Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. They're wiped away, and we're free from guilt, we're free from shame, we're free from the power of the sin. Because he resurrected, he now lives in me. He empowers me to live in victory. He gives me strength to face any hardship. He gives me peace in any trial. He gives me joy to overcome all grief and sadness. That kind of truth, the truth of who Jesus is, of the work he has come to do, and the truth of who we are in him will lead us to live in freedom. Okay, back to the scripture. Notice the response of these Jews. These Jews who believed in Jesus, it says. In verse 33, they said, "We are offspring of Abraham and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Oh, wait a minute. Offspring of Abraham that had never been enslaved? Have they not read the Old Testament? Did they not know their history? They were enslaved more than they were free. I mean, think about it. In the book of Exodus, they were enslaved to the Egyptians. Later, they became enslaved to the Midianites. They were enslaved to the Philistines. They were eventually enslaved by the Babylonians. Then they were conquered by Greece. And at the time that these Jews said this, they were enslaved. They were in bondage to the Romans. They almost had never been free, but they very proudly and boldly say, "We've never been enslaved to anyone." Thinking maybe they were in denial. I believe that the greatest, or one, maybe the greatest obstacle to freedom is just the failure to realize or recognize bondage. We simply don't want to admit that we're in any kind of bondage. Think about the things that you hear from people or that you may say. Like things like, "Well, I know I'm a worrier. My mother was a worrier. It's just the way I am." Or, "I just have a temper. I can't help it. It's part of my personality. I know I drink too much, but I can stop anytime. It doesn't control me. I'm not critical or judgmental. I just am observant. I just notice things. I'm not negative. I'm just realistic. I don't live in fear. I'm just cautious." Do any of these statements sound familiar? We need to quit pretending that we're free and recognize the issues that hold us back. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I just say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Practice means to continue in. Continued sin is bondage. Is worry sin? Is fear sin? Yeah. Not believing in God, not trusting in God, that's sin. And Jesus said, if you continue in that, that is bondage. A lot of things that we consider just personality traits, just the way we are, it's bondage, and we need to face the fact. But there's good news, very good news. Verse 35, Jesus said, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus is not a slave. He's the son. And as the son, he has the power to set the slaves free. So if the son sets you free, you will be truly free, completely free. Jesus, as the Son of God, has the power, the authority, the ability, and the desire to make us free in every way. Those who Christ makes free, are free indeed. The freedom that the Jews boasted in was imaginary. They weren't free, but they proclaimed freedom. That was an imaginary freedom. Jesus gives real freedom. Freedom that's unique because it's truly freedom, complete freedom. Steps to freedom are simple. Mike's described his experience many times, and we can have that same kind of experience. And the first step is to admit you need freedom. Just to say, "Lord, I confess I've been enslaved. I've been enslaved to fear, anger, bitterness, anxiety, drugs, immorality, all the stuff that limits our freedom. Let's just admit it. I've been in bondage to this." And second, ask God to show you what the source of the bondage is. What's the lie that I believe that has led me into bondage? Maybe it's the lie that God won't protect me and keep me safe. The lie that he won't provide for my needs. The lie that I can't make it through the day without some kind of chemical. The The lie that God's love is not enough to satisfy me. The lie that my sin is too great to be really forgiven. Or the lie that someone else's sin against me is too great and I can't forgive. What's the lie that's at the bottom of your issue? Third, realize it. Realize the lie, the source, and then confess it. Lord, I confess I opened myself to this and I've believed this lie for these years and I've walked in bondage. Then let go of it. Renounce it. Cast it away. Throw it out. Just proclaim, Father God, I'm just renouncing that lie that I believed. The lie that I would die young that caused me to live in fear. The lie that I need a chemical to help me make it through the day. I'm no longer going to believe that lie. I'm not going to believe the lie that I'm just sensitive and easily offended. I'm not going to believe the lie that I'm too shy to go out and meet people and talk to people. Any lie that keeps you from doing those things that God has said, just renounce it and say, I'm not going to live in that. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to believe that lie. Then accept the freedom. Accept it. Father God, today I declare that by the power of your Holy Spirit, I am free. And I resolve to walk in the freedom that you give. I will be completely free. And then give thanks. Lord Jesus, I know that you've come to set me free, to break every chain and make me truly free from any and every kind of bondage. Thank you for setting me free. This kind of freedom's good. It's really good. It's the kind of freedom. That's the kind of life that we want. Don't we want to get rid of all of those old, the junk, the issues that hold us back, and just be free to do whatever God is calling us to do? I know as I've shared these principles, they may sound too easy. And I understand that if you've lived many years in bondage, it's hard to walk in freedom. It's not easy. It may be simple, but it's not easy. But be encouraged. You don't have to be enslaved. You can be set free. And if you realize today that you're not walking in the full freedom to be everything that God created you to be, to experience everything God has for you, and you would like help getting there, call Mike. He'll help you. Or call me. Call Chance. Call Scott. Call Craig. We want to see everybody walking in freedom. We can't be everything God has. We're not going to be transformed to be fully into his image if we've got a bunch of junk holding us back. And it's good, it's okay to ask for help. We need each other. We all need help walking in freedom, holding on to that freedom and continuing in freedom day by day. It's not a journey you take alone.
Good job, Jeanette. Good job, Craig. You know, when I think about the impact that Mike and John Ann have had throughout the years of my Christian walk, that's 19 of 21 years that I've walked with Jesus. They have been a part of that. You guys have been a part of mine and Chelsea's walk with the Lord more than I've pretty much been a part of anything else. I've been here almost over half my life. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. And when I think of, when people ask me, Chance, what is Cottonwood like? One of the things I say to them, I say, well, I got to be honest with you. My experience is just a little bit different because when I came and my wife came, we were two of the four college students in the entire church. And I said, so when we walked in, it was like, hey, what's your name? You're going to my house for dinner today. No, you're going to my house for dinner. And we had all these, as Mike Stroop would say, blue-haired ladies kind of fighting over us of where we were going to go that particular afternoon. In Psalm 16, Mike often quotes a verse, 16:5, it says, the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And that's become a verse that I have embraced throughout the years. As I think about our journey and our time and my family. And, you know, Scott, when you said earlier, can you stand up? I felt like I was doing some kind of buns of steel exercise. You know, I was just like, all right, let's go stand up again, sit down. Because we had been a part of nearly every one of those things, except he didn't bury us yet. We'd been a part of so many neat opportunities, neat moments. Jeanette's book of freedom. Mike was there. He led me to freedom in so many different areas. And there were times where he didn't even know it, just because he was speaking the truth and washing the body of Christ with the word. There were times where he's spoken into our marriage and our children's lives. And indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And both you and your lovely wife have a tremendous amount of influence. One of the things that Mike taught early on, I felt like this was one of those seasons several years ago where we were coming and I thought I heard this verse nearly every Sunday. You ever have that experience where you're going through something and it's just like Mike has singled you out? And he's saying, I'm going to preach to you today, and you are going to hear these words, and your life is going to be transformed because God's word does that. And so I want you to listen as I crafted this sermon, especially for you. Well, early on, this was one of the things that I heard. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, as the pastor during the Sunday school hour mentioned, he said, these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will go and be able to teach others also. I heard that over and over and over and over. And our first experience here on the property was right in front of the chapel. We walked up. It was right before Thanksgiving. And he said, what's your name? And I said, I'm Chance Yankee. Where are you from? Springtown, Texas. What's your major? It was biology at the time. And he said, well, hello, Chance Yankee from Springtown, Texas. Biology is your major. I'm glad you're here. What's your name? Chelsea Yankee, or Chelsea Cass Stevens at that time. Where are you from? Poolville, Texas. What's your major? Criminal justice. Well, hello, Chelsea Cass Stevens from Poolville, Texas. Criminal justice major. I'm glad you are here. Well, we skipped that next Sunday because we went home for Thanksgiving, but we came back and he greeted us, and guess how he greeted us? Hello, Chance Yankee from Springtown, Texas. Blew me away. I thought, man, here, guy's got several people, the pastor, and he remembers my name. And from that moment on, I knew that there's something different about this place, and I knew that there's something different about these people, the people of Cottonwood and their leaders. And in that moment, it didn't take me too long before he started taking time out of my schedule on a weekly basis and saying, hey, I want to hook up with you. Hey, I want to get together. I mean, how many people in here have heard that? Hey, I want to get together this week. We need to talk. And usually you show up and he's just listening to the Lord, got the very word that you need to hear, and you walk away going, man, how awesome was that? Totally blessed. That's been the last 19 years of my life. That's the kind of community that the body of Cottonwood has come to know and has come to embrace and has come to love. And John Ann does such a fantastic job behind the scenes of teaching our women how to be godly women in the home, how to be godly moms, how to lead your children in such a way that it would honor the Lord. That's the kind of community that we have here. And if maybe this is your first time here, know that that's what you're stepping into. And maybe it's the first couple of months. Because I want to tell you, if you'll embrace that idea and just jump in with both feet, that's what you can have. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen people come and I've seen people embrace community. I mean, really embrace it. Not just be on the fringes, not be on the outside looking in, but really jump in and embrace it. It'll bless your socks off. You will be changed. You will be transformed, because that's part of what community does. Mike and John Ann, thank you for modeling that throughout the years. Man, I told myself I wasn't going to cry. But I'm glad we get to do this, because in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction." And so this morning, I hope that we have done a good job of appreciating you guys and honoring you guys. I don't think we can do that enough. I really don't believe that we can do that enough. And I know there's a lot of folks throughout the years that have called and written cards, and you guys have talked about. But right now, if we could just give a big round of applause for Mike and John Ann for all that they've done.
is in this very room.
Mike, John Ann, children, grandchildren, front center, please. We tried to value everything that Mike values, including keeping you late. Shot across the bow right there. And there is a, I don't know if you noticed those little four numbers right there before Mike. If you read those, it tells you what time it is. All right, no. Y'all come right in the center. Crowd up right here in the center. I'm asking the elders, past and present, if you're in the room. I know Chuck may have had to leave for his work, but elders, past and present, come forward. Staff, why don't y'all come up too? Staff, I didn't tell you this, but if you're on staff, come on up. If y'all would just kind of surround the Fritchers, put your hands on them. And I've asked just a few of the guys to speak a blessing and pray over you.
Let's bow our hearts. Colossians 1:27, a fragment of that says, "The Christ in you, the hope of glory." And I think that all of us have been touched by that, brother. So, Father, we just ask that you would come. This is a family that has been blessed, is being blessed, and will be blessed because of that fact and their sacrifice, their love, their joy, and every fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes upon them, Lord. Let it be rich and present. Lord, I just ask that you would fill them continually, their whole family, with your presence, Lord. I know that there's an abounding grace that overwhelms them sometimes. But they take a step of risk every time they wake up for your name's sake, Lord. And so they are blessed because of that too. So, Father, I just ask that you would give them just this fruit of an experience with you for the next 30 years in this house, with their family, with their kids, their grandkids, and great-grandkids. Father, we just ask that you would fill them with health, a strong body, strong mind, and just this yearning deep within them to never quit, to never give up, to never shrink back. Lord, bless them, fill them, love on them. And as we surround them, they surround us. We hang tight for the ride, Lord. We say thank you in Jesus' name.
We praise you, Father, for this day to bring glory to your name by honoring your servants, your faithful servants here. Thank you for them, and we ask for your protection, your great power of using your people to glorify your name. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jehovah, our Father. Lord, we just come before you in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our brother. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the ministry that you've sent here all those years ago in answer to the prayer of faithful young girls that kept this church open, that you had sent your light into this area. And you have in the form of Mike and John Ann. And I just thank you that you changed their dreams and made them yours. Lord, what a witness they are to us. How they were able to change and to hear your voice and to follow your dream and to see how that you have blessed not only them, but the whole community, the whole area, and yes, Lord, even to the ends of the earth. Lord, you are our hope, our salvation. And Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to bless not only Mike and John Ann and their kids. I just pray that you'd have your most high blessing upon them. But I pray that you'd continue to bless this church and the people that are in it. Lord, help us to be a light on the hill that many would find favor in your eyes because of the work done here. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me and for each one in this room. And I just thank you for Mike and John Ann. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat except for Mike. Wouldn't be right not to give the pastor a rebuttal time. And when he gets done, I'll dismiss the Fritchers to the foyer, and then I'll have a couple of more words for you guys.
Wow, thank you so much. I love being your pastor. I love being your pastor. Those of you who are here that from years gone by, thanks for coming today. I loved being your pastor. I want to just say a couple of things. Number one, thank you to the staff, Scott, and I know Jeanette and the rest of you. You truly did, in each of your part, reflect some of the things, or most of the things, if not all, that are very, very important to me. And I really feel are important to the kingdom and important to our church. Did such a wonderful job in honoring that, and I really do appreciate that. Fanny, thank you for singing that wonderful song. Where are you? Are you Fanny? Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to continue to be, to have these 30 years with you through the years as, you know, worship leader and Sunday school secretary and one of the matriarchs of our body, that I'm just so grateful for all these years and your influence. And our family just really loves you, and just really grateful for just everything about you. And I'm just so grateful for that. I also want to thank my parents, who I think watching just the influence that they've had on our lives from little bitty. You know, my youth pastor said something about us doing the Lord's work, and made a comparison between my brother and I. My brother's always had this heart for the church and ministry, and we really attribute that to my folks who loved the church. Especially my mother loved the church and loves the church. And she taught us to love the church. It's his bride. And I'm just so grateful for my family. I'm so grateful for my wife, who John Ann has just been the perfect match from day one, and has been such a great encouragement and such a great encouragement. Someone would ask me, "How's John Ann?" I said, "Well, when's the last time you saw her?" About 3 years ago. Well, how was she then? Well, she's exactly the same. My wife is like God. She's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I appreciate that so much. My son and my daughters and their spouses, I'm so grateful for the Sundays that you're here, that we get to go eat at the at the Hill and just the fellowship. And I'm just so grateful for how you guys honor us. It's just such a blessing in these days. You know, I want to say this to you as a church body. During the last few years, Johnny and I would hear about our kids getting together without us. And I just love that as a father. We want to be included, but just to know that our family is getting together and loving on each other. And I just want you to know that as your pastor, when I hear that you're getting together and you're communicating and you're community together, that just thrills my heart. I just want you to know that thrills my heart when you get together. I believe so much in this community, this thing called community and church life. It's where you grow. It's where you find life. It's where, yeah, you sometimes get disappointed and sometimes hard things happen. And sometimes you can get even hurt sometimes. But don't ever stop loving one another. It's the church community. Don't ever stop getting together with one another. You know, I could go on and on. But I just want to just say thank you for being here today and honoring us and honoring the Lord. I've really looked across this auditorium and just see, you know, so many faces that we've spent time together and so much time together. And I'm just so grateful for those days. And then I see newer folks that I'm looking forward to the days ahead of just spending life together and continuing to pursue Him with everything that we are. Just really grateful for you guys. I want to bless you before you go out. Is that okay? I'll just let you take it. So, yeah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance toward you and give you peace this day and forever. The shalom peace of God, the peace of God that does surpass all understanding, the peace of God that is the reconciling word, that God has reconciled you and me to Him through Jesus Christ, that wonderful peace today and always. May it reflect in your marriage and your family. May it reflect in our church. And it may reflect in the churches you've come from today as you've moved away. May that peace in His countenance be lifted upon you right now and forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much.
Y'all give the Lord and the Fritchers a praise offering. Mike, John Ann, family, I'm going to give y'all a chance to skedaddle out there and also give some of the servers an opportunity to get in their places, whatever they need to do. While they're make their way to the foyer, a few items to make you aware of. Don't forget Mike and John Ann's love offering. Again, you can put them a check or designate your money in any of these metal boxes, one in the foyer, before you leave. And you can also the basket and the welcome desk for notes of encouragement and thanks. The Bible that we've been talking about. Don't forget the Bible. Find your favorite verse. Hey, if you don't have a life verse, just pick a good one and underline it and put your name next to it. So it'll throw them off a little bit. But there's actually some that we probably shouldn't come to think about. Anyway, the reception. Unfortunately, we're not set up to feed you a full meal. But please enjoy our snacks. And parents, every eyeball parent, please make sure your children go through the line with you and help them maintain, I'm not sure how to say this, a sensible plate quantity. That's it. I'm a children's pastor. I know these things. Okay. We can't allow any food or drink except bottled water here in the auditorium. So we've actually set up a few tables for our older guests, some disabled people, the families with the smalls, to be able to have a seat. If you know, if you see somebody that looks like they need to sit down and you're okay standing up, please let them have a chair. And please make sure you pick up your smalls from the nursery after we dismiss. There's ladies and maybe some gentlemen over there that have been watching your kids, and they're wanting to come over and be a part of the reception too. Mike and John Ann are in the foyer. They're going to be there waiting to greet you. So thank you for being a part of this 30th anniversary celebration. I hope it was a blessing. If you need a copy of this hour or the previous hour, Wayne will have copies available. It should include the awesome video. That video was a complete surprise. I didn't even know that was Mike speaking at the beginning. He sounded like he was fresh out of seminary. It was awesome. But if you want a copy of all of that, it'll be available. So thank you, and you are free to go.